Hi, I'm Shanna. Welcome to Home Pros Marketing Made Simple. Each week, we'll dive into simple, effective ways to attract new clients for your home services business. Let's jump in. Hi there, this is Shanna. Today, we are talking about which social media platforms you should be on to promote your professional home services. But first, I want to explain why I've kind of been missing for a little bit. I have not recorded a podcast in a while because I have been writing a book. While I had thought and hoped I could do both simultaneously, that is a lot of creative work to pump out while also delivering on services for clients, for our social media and Google Business clients, as well as we continuously create content for our membership website organized. And so unfortunately, the thing that kind of had to get abandoned or neglected for a little bit was this podcast. So I apologize for that, but I am here, I am back, and I am excited to share with you some new things. But first, let me tell you about this book. It is called Pro Organizer Marketing Made Simple, and it's going to be released on Amazon on August 15th. Now, you can go ahead and pre-order it if you go to my website at growwithhomepros.com, and up in the navigation, you'll see books, and you will click on Pro Organizer Marketing Made Simple. Books? Did I just say books, plural? I did. Because my second book called Cleaning Business Marketing Made Simple is actually coming out in mid-September as well. It's actually kind of the same book, but one, the first one, Pro Organizer Marketing Made Simple, is very specific to professional organizing services as a business and specific tactics, keywords, approaches, strategies that professional organizers use to attract ideal clients, and what I have seen be successful over and over and over again with professional organizers across the country and also in some other places outside of the United States, which is Canada, the UK, and Australia. We do have listeners in lots of different places, and through my relationships with lots of different organizers and just my own observation and working with clients in this space, I've been able to create this book and really just distill down what the most important factors are in building a business that you love, that is sustainable, but that also allows you to attract the kinds of clients that you want to attract, and how to do that in a really simple way, given all of the options that are available in this day and age of digital marketing and word of mouth and just all sorts of different things. I try to distill, and hopefully I have been successful at it. I've gotten positive reviews from some advanced reviewers, which has been very validating and very exciting. But what I'm hoping for, what I hope to accomplish when I set out on this project, was to take all of my expertise and really distill it down into, here are like the four things that you need to be thinking about and doing. And so that's what this book, again, it's called Pro Organizer Marketing Made Simple. You can pre-order it at my website, growwithhomepros.com. But I actually purchased another URL specifically for the book, which takes you to this book page on our website, which is proorganizermarketingmadesimple.com. And with your pre-order, you get 2 free months of organized membership, which gives you access to our vault of hundreds and hundreds of pieces of content to help market your home services business. So go to the website, pre-order your copy today, and you will use the ISBN or the AISN. Basically, the number inside the book will give you the free, it'll be like a promo code to get you into organized for free for 2 months. And then, like I said, that second book, Cleaning Business Marketing Made Simple, is adapted to cleaning service businesses and the things that I've seen successful in that arena, and then specific strategies, tactics, keywords, hashtags, etc. So thank you for being patient with me while this podcast has just kind of sat here for a little bit. The good news is that I do still get listens even when I'm not actively pumping out podcast episodes on a weekly basis, which is my high level goal. But I also know that it's really good infrastructure because when I started building up my content as a podcaster, I knew that there would be times, there would be seasons that this would not have to be my priority. It couldn't be my focus because I do run a business. I do have clients. I do have content to create. And so this was one of those things. But I say this to say that I know that Instagram and my podcast are two of the biggest ways outside of word of mouth that people find me. And even though I wasn't actively recording and publishing podcasts here for a bit, I was still getting podcast listens because I'd built up infrastructure and I'd built up this kind of library of podcast episodes that people were still able to listen to, even though I had to kind of take a little step back. So I say that to say infrastructure is always very important. And anytime you create content, as long as it appeals to and is either informing, engaging, entertaining your ideal client, it is infrastructure building that is going to help you even if you aren't able to do it continuously or, you know, to if you're even if you're not able to reach that perfection that you have in mind of a weekly podcast episode like I have. But anyways, it's still serving me even though I haven't been able to publish recently. So let's talk about what we're here for this episode, which is social media platforms you should be on to promote your professional home services. So if you've been listening or if you've been following me for a while, you know or you may know that I've been in business development and marketing for about 18 years. And over the years, some things have stayed the same. Identifying and speaking directly to your ideal clients is one that has stayed the same. Thinking through a buyer's journey and guiding a prospective client into the service that provides them the most value and you the most profit, that has stayed the same. The tactics have changed remarkably. I remember when digital marketing, and I say that in quotations, was a new thing. We weren't even sure what to call it yet. I remember it was probably 2007, 2008, 2009. Yes, of course, we were building websites. Yes, we were creating content that helped educate and attract our ideal clients. But the methodology was different. The, you know, the email marketing, the social media wasn't quite a thing just yet. But, you know, this e-marketing, multimedia marketing, electronic marketing, it was awkward to say because we didn't know what to call it. But now, as we all know, these are the things that are huge components of interacting with clients and ideal clients. And it's because digital marketing and digital is how we live our lives. When someone gets a recommendation for a doctor's office or a new therapist or a cleaning company, the first thing that person's going to do is they're going to search that company online. They're going to vet them. They're going to make sure that this company is not some sort of fly-by-night that, you know, doesn't look like they have any sort of credibility. What they're looking for is that the company looks legitimate and does what they say it does. And because of all of those reasons and this consumer behavior of vetting people online, even if it's a referral, even if it's word of mouth working for you, people are still going to vet you online. And so that is why digital marketing has been and will continue to be so important in creating visibility for your business. And social media in particular is a huge component of interacting with clients and ideal clients. You can follow people that fit your ideal client avatar to learn more about them. You can engage with them. You can ask them questions. You can seek out specific ideal clients in your service area. You can reach out and build meaningful relationships. These are all ways to create and connect, create relationships and connect on social media. Also, you can straight up advertise on social media, which of course is how the platforms make money. And those ads tend to be highly efficient. As segmented as we are now, it's the most efficient way to reach a large group of people and be able to target based on interest. And it costs a lot less than a direct mail campaign or a TV advertising campaign, which, you know, back in 2008, 2009, those were some of the biggest ways to try to get in front of ideal clients. And so now the great thing and the drawback is that social media is that thing. The great thing is that it's very, very, very efficient. And the not so great thing is that social media changes a lot and how people use it changes a lot. And there are lots of things that you need to know to be up on how best to attract your ideal clients on social media. But something that comes up every so often is which platform makes the most sense to promote your business on. First, know that it's not a one-way conversation. You posting on your Facebook page or on your Instagram or on LinkedIn once a month and just kind of mass broadcasting a message out is fine, but that's not where you're going to see the majority of the opportunity, I guess. A little while ago, I was talking about how for my business, my Instagram and podcast tends to be, you know, when I ask people after they're scheduling a consultation with me, I always ask how they found me. And usually it is Instagram or the podcast. If I don't know anything about them, if I've never seen them like in my periphery before, that's usually how they find me. And one of the reasons for that is that on Instagram, I've dedicated a lot of time, energy, and resources to, yes, continuously sharing content that is helpful, whether it's informational or educational, sometimes motivational. So kind of always being visible there. But what I've actually spent like the most of my resources on is really digging in and doing some of those things that I kind of ticked off a few minutes ago in the, you know, things that you can do. I'm going to go back and repeat that. You can follow people that fit your ideal client avatar to learn more about them. You can engage with people. You can ask questions, you can seek out ideal clients in your specific service area, etc. And that's what I've spent a lot of time doing on my Instagram, and that has paid off. So what that has looked like for me is I have looked for and found people that are in my ideal client avatar. I look for specific people, and I start this with hashtags. I do hashtag search of things that I think that my ideal client will be searching for or following. And then I will look for individual players that have a presence and that are engaging. And then I just start engaging with them. I like their posts. I comment on their posts. When someone follows me, I respond back with a direct message that says, you know, thank you for following me. I'm excited that, you know, us like-minded individuals can connect on this platform, you know, that sort of thing. And it's all very genuine and authentic because I am very glad to be able to connect with people on these platforms. And I know that I'm not just pumping stuff out. I know that the biggest opportunity is making the relationships, building the relationships. And so when people comment on my posts, I will comment back. Sometimes I will DM. And there are faces that I end up seeing over and over and over again. And I can't tell you how many times I have gone to industry conferences and seen someone or connected with someone like, hey, we've been following each other on Instagram for a long time. And, you know, we've had several conversations. And so it's still all about relationship building. Marketing is all about relationship building. And it's just that the tactics sometimes change. So if you are overwhelmed by social media, it's relevant. There's a lot to it. There's lots of different platforms. But when you kind of peel off the layers down into what are you trying to accomplish with social media, it's that you're wanting to build a relationship. So sometimes you do just need to put out some content, start creating some visibility, but know that you're furthering your opportunity by creating relationships, by following people that meet, you know, that fit your client avatar, by having conversations, commenting on their posts, offering some sort of value when they're sharing something. It is not a one-way conversation. And if it is, you need to do what you can to make it an interaction. Second, you need to know which platforms. So let me back up and say again that it's not a one-way conversation. That's kind of what we've been talking about, is that yes, put out content so that when people vet you online, they know who they're talking to and what you stand for and what you do and that you're a credible expert. But also take the time to know that it's not a one-way conversation and that you do need to make it an interaction. And there are lots of ways that you can do this. You can ask questions in your captions, and then you can do some of the tactics that I mentioned as well about following your ideal clients, creating relationships via, you know, comments and interactions and DMs, etc. So number one, it's not a one-way conversation. Number two is knowing which platforms your ideal clients are on. And it's not necessarily the platforms that you're hearing about being hot and new right now. It might be that your 21-year-old niece is telling you that you need to be on TikTok because everyone's on TikTok. It might be that you see Twitter getting a ton of headlines. And it can be overwhelming to feel like you have to be on every platform all the time, because that is overwhelming. That would be overwhelming. As small business owners, we have a lot on our plates. And to stay relevant and efficient, we really need to pick one or two social media platforms only, and only the ones that our ideal clients are on. And that is key. So, as a home service provider, which platforms should you be on? It depends on your business model, who you're trying to reach, and what you're trying to achieve. So let's dive into some examples. So Jennifer has a business doing home organizing services in her local area of South Carolina. She needs to be on Facebook and Instagram. Lindsay offers home organizing services, specifically luxury closets in the LA area. Facebook and Instagram, again, are going to be good for her. Troy offers packing and unpacking services in the Boston area. Again, Facebook and Instagram. Jamie specializes in small business organizing services, specifically companies that have to house inventory in the Denver, Colorado. That business is also going to do well on Facebook and Instagram. So you've probably noticed the pattern here. Facebook and Instagram are going to be really great options for home service providers. Now, Susan, let's give this example here. Susan has a business and productivity organizing consultancy for medium to large businesses, mostly in the New England area, but does travel to teach at conferences. What platforms do you think she needs to be on? If you said LinkedIn and Facebook, you would be right. So the question you should first ask when thinking about which platforms to dedicate your time and resources on, think about who uses the platform and what they use it for. So first, let's talk about Facebook. Facebook is the Walmart of social media. Everyone's on it. Facebook is the most popular social media network for men and women aged 35 to 44. 56% of Facebook users are male, 44% of Facebook users are female. Who is it good for? It's good for reaching individuals for brand awareness or small price point items. Also, it's good for building relationships. People aren't on Facebook searching for a specific product or service, but you can catch people's attention if what you offer solves a specific problem for them. And it's because of all the data that Facebook has on all of us that makes this super efficient, because we can create our ads, we can identify our demographic, and then we can pay for those ads to be served to our demographic. Okay, Instagram next. If Facebook is Walmart, Instagram is Target. It's a more enjoyable experience. It's less crowded. It's more aesthetically appealing. The demographics for Instagram is that 48.4% of all Instagram users are female, while 51% are male. 31% of Instagram users are 25 to 34 year olds, and the largest age group is going to be 25 to 34, with 18 to 24 years old group close behind at 31%. So what's Instagram good for? It's good for reaching individuals for brand awareness, kind of the same thing with Facebook, brand awareness or small price points and building relationships. The same as Facebook, and as far as people aren't searching for a specific product or service necessarily in the platform, but again, you can catch people's attention if what you offer solves a specific problem for them. And because of that targeting, whether it be kind of general organic posting with hashtags or whether you're doing ads and you're creating a message and then paying for those ads to be served to those specific people. All right, LinkedIn is next. So LinkedIn is kind of the boardroom of social media, and it's good for reaching specific individuals with specific job titles in certain industries, and people use it to connect with other people professionally. It's good for a productivity consultant that specializes in workshops for local government entities, is a good kind of use case. And what you can do there is you can reach out to specific people that have titles like Director of Public Works and that sort of thing. What about TikTok? It's currently estimated that TikTok has about 80 million monthly active users in the United States. 60% are female, 40% are male, 60% are between the ages of 16 and 24, and 26% are in the ages of 25 to 44. The majority of people use TikTok to find funny or entertaining content. And some really good ways to use TikTok is to create content and kind of sell influencer status. So if you'll notice, there are home service providers out there that are on TikTok, but generally they're not seeking a local service market audience to call and schedule a consultation. Usually what people are doing when they're creating content on TikTok is they're building up numbers to be able to sell influencer status to advertisers. Or if it's kind of more on a micro level, is when they're able to use affiliate links. So they're capturing eyeballs with their videos and they're making money off of either affiliate links or ad dollars, but you have to get a ton of eyeballs to make that a viable platform. So that's how people are using TikTok. And then who uses Snapchat? We're just kind of talking through all of them here. Snapchat in the United States, the most popular age group on Snapchat is those ages 15 to 25, as they make up 48% of users. Those ages 26 to 35 make up 30% of users, and ages 36 to 45 are 18%. Ages 46 to 55 are 11%, and those 56 and older make up just 5% of the platform. So what's it good for? A good use case scenario of this was when my agency partnered with a nonprofit a few years ago. We were hired to develop and manage a campaign to raise awareness about accidental overdosing of prescription pills. One of the demographics that was most at risk was teens, so we created a Snapchat ad campaign with messaging that informed teens not to take pills that aren't prescribed to them and to only ever take the prescribed amount due to accidental deaths. This was a really good use of Snapchat and Snapchat advertising because our demographic that we were trying to reach was right there in that 15 years old to 21 years old demographic, and they're on Snapchat. So that's where we developed the campaign and where we paid for ads. All right, next is Twitter. So Twitter is one that's gotten more controversial in the last, 6 months or so. I don't know when Elon exactly bought it, but it might have gained some controversy there. But 82% of frequent tweeters, so those who tweet 20 or more times per month, are dubbed high volume in the data, FYI, use it Twitter for entertainment. 78% said they use the microblogging platform as a way to stay informed, and 77% said they used it as a way to express their opinions. What's it good for? If you're trying to get the attention of local or national media, you can find journalists on Twitter. Let's say you are a home organizer that ultimately wants to write books and speak at conferences. It can really benefit you or a big project of yours to be featured in Real Simple, for instance. You can search Twitter for a Real Simple editor, reach out, and pitch your idea. The same goes for local or regional media. A lot of journalists, big and small markets, are on Twitter because it's a very current events kind of platform. Journalists will sometimes even put things out like, hey, I'm a reporter in the Houston area, and I'd love to do a feature on organizing holiday or seasonal decor. If this is something you're an expert on, DM me. I've also recently seen journalists doing this on Instagram as well. I know a writer for The Cut magazine, and periodically she'll put stuff out actually on stories that says, she says, hey, I'm working on a specific article. And she'll say the topic, if you have experience with this, DM me. So those are great ways to use social media. One last one I want to cover is Pinterest. So Pinterest is used as a search browser. Yes, it's technically social media, but it's more used as a search browser. So if you're looking for a recipe or labels, you're probably going to use Pinterest. If you are looking for a local service provider trying to reach a bigger audience for your local services, this is not the platform for you. So what's Pinterest good for? If you have created printables for sale, maybe you make amazing printable labels that your clients love, and you think people that don't know you would want to buy them too, you can share that information to your sales page on Pinterest. So we've touched on all of these different social media platforms, not because I think you should be on all of them. I think that you should be on one or two. And specifically, if you're a home service provider, I think you should be on Facebook and Instagram because you can create visibility to a really big audience of people that are likely in your age demographic, and because you can also target people in a local demographic, whether it's, like I said, via ads or via hashtags. Now, there might be other people in your periphery that seem to be everywhere on social media. Maybe, you know, every social media platform that you check on, whether it's for personal or business use, you see all of these people. Well, let's talk about who these people might be and what they might be doing. So I'm going to talk through a couple of different people that you might see. So for instance, HomeSort, Cass Arson of Clutterbug, and then Home Edit. I'm going to talk through what they do social media wise and why they do it. So HomeSort, they provide local home organizing services in California. They grew a following. Now they monetize that following as brand ambassadors for MDesign, and they have a TV show on Design Network. They have that base business model of local service provider, and then as they grew a following, they were able to build content that then now generates lots of eyeballs, which allows them to get these kind of influencer or ambassador types of arrangements with MDesign and some other companies. Cass Arson of Clutterbug has a similar model. She provides local home organizing services. She grew a following and now monetizes that following as a brand ambassador for The Container Store. She has a TV show on HGTV and she earns YouTube ad dollars. So when I heard Cass speak, actually I've been at events with both Cass Arson and the ladies, Brandy and Ryan from HomeSort, and they kind of have a similar story in that they loved creating content. And so they were creating content while they were doing their, you know, the services locally that they were being paid for. And then kind of as the industry grew and as interest in the industry and organizing and all things, you know, beautiful home while we were stuck home in COVID, all these things grew, they were then able to monetize it in, you know, much bigger ways than they had before. Next is the Home Edit. So same with Home Edit. They were bought by Hello Sunshine, which is a media company that Reese Witherspoon started and then sold, but they're all kind of owned by the same like big investment company. And the Home Edit basically acts as a media company at this point. They do some of the same things. They created a product line in partnership with The Container Store and now Walmart. They have franchises throughout the U.S. of local home organizing teams. They have books. They have a podcast that they launched that's, I think it's called Best Friend Energy. I think they do some live person events. And their whole thing is capturing visibility and capturing eyeballs. And so for all three of these people that I just talked through, HomeSort, Cass Arson of Clutterbug, and Home Edit, their business is different than just vying for that local service-based type of business. Now, for them, kind of the arc of their business growth has been doing the service, creating content, getting a lot of visibility and attention, interest in their content, and then being able to either capture that with, you know, sales of more things. Like Cass Arson has a Clutterbug organizer certification course, which helps capture the interest of people that want to do things like she does them. It helps her build her business in a way that's not one-on-one specifically with clients, but she still does that kind of work. But for these people, it behooves them and their business model to be everywhere. But they also have people helping them. Please remember that. When you're seeing people that are on, you know, four different platforms, they have people helping them. Cass is more of a one-person show with a little bit of help, but she has been creating content for a large following for years. She's constantly on camera because she's good at it and she likes to do it. And I've heard her tell the story that she was making content on YouTube for like 5-6 years before people were really even watching, but she just kept making content. And then her YouTube channel somehow got compromised. I think the whole thing shut down and she had to start over. So if you don't love creating content, don't do it to that extent. You don't have to, especially if your goal is to serve a local market of home services. If you live in the, you know, Nashville, Tennessee area or the Asheville, North Carolina or whatever, I'm just, you know, throwing out kind of metro areas. If your goal is to build a business in that area and serve clients as their organizer or as their home service professional, and your goal is to continue doing that, then you don't need to be on every single platform. If your goal is specifically to attract people to call you, to pay you, to come do services at their home, then you don't need to be on Twitter. You don't need to be on TikTok. You don't need to be on Pinterest. You do need to have a professional presence on Facebook and on Instagram. And if you work with businesses, maybe you offer commercial cleaning, maybe you specialize in commercial cleaning. So take a step back and ask yourself who you want to serve and how you would like your business to grow. Then spend time doing the things that will get you there. If you are a home service professional, I highly recommend Facebook and Instagram as the two platforms that you spend time on. If you can only do one, then do one and then build out the other one. One of the great things with doing Facebook and Instagram is that Meta owns both platforms and you can run ads on both platforms utilizing the same kind of back-end Meta ad content creator. That's it for today. If this is helpful, would you please give me a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening on? I would appreciate it because that helps people find me. Thank you for listening, and I will see you next time. Thanks for listening to Home Pros Marketing Made Simple. Head over to the website for full show notes at growwithhomepros.com. There, you can also sign up for free tools and resources to grow your business. See you next time.